system dynamics with applications to security management. System dynamics, that is a methodology for making models, simulation models. And here you see qualitative system dynamics. We start first with qualitative models. Later we will make quantitative models. Again, there is a document that introduces the things we are going to talk about methodology. If you open that, you get this. And it again, I am not going to go through that line by line, but I will give you an overview of what it says, and I recommend all students to have that in mind, because that gives you an idea as to what the topic is, why we care about it, and what kind of things we expect to learn from dealing with that. So, security management dynamics. Dynamics means about things that happen over time. And the emphasis is on accepting that security is a process. It is a process that goes over time. The world is changing. The threats become different. Our responses also. So we need to care about what is happening. But not only. It is also so that when you are implementing controls and decisions, you are interfering with the process, and experience shows that when you have a difficult, complex system, and security management is complex, then the actions, the interventions that you are taking will produce not only results that you look for, but also others that are unintended, that you don't want. In addition, there's the possibility that you miss and that your actions fail to achieve what you want. But even when they are well conceived, you are always risking that there will be unintended consequences, and that we need to understand. So we need to understand what happens over time, because things change over time, but also because our actions to achieve some results will elicit a number of processes with outcomes that perhaps are not intended and maybe even negative. So we should be able to plan in the best way. And the reason why we care about simulations is because they allow us to experiment with different strategies before we invest in a costly process that perhaps turns out to be badly conceived. So then I refer that again to the standards. They are not a guidebook, but rather they are a framework. So because we want this framework to result in a continuous improvement process that in practice is difficult to implement, we care about the dynamics of the processes. And there I argue that if you are good at understanding the dynamics of security management, you will learn how to avoid mistakes. You will learn that some important security failures are unintended consequences or sidesteps of management actions. You will get a better understanding of the importance of managing security as continuous improvement process, as part of the organization's total quality improvement process. you will understand the reason why often these processes are difficult to implement and lead to failures. You will understand the connection between a good process of managing security with organizational learning from incidents, continuous quality improvement, and security culture. And then you can avoid mistakes and make better decisions. So what is the methodology that we use? We use system dynamics. We start with system dynamics in a qualitative way. We produce some diagrams that tell stories that allow us to understand what is happening. In particular, we will look at so-called system archetypes. And then you learn to conduct system dynamics modeling using a tool which is called VenSim. Then I follow here an explanation as to what is the difference between qualitative and quantitative system dynamics. Qualitative means we are not so concerned about numbers yet. In quantitative, we introduce the numbers. But you can see this as a process whereby we start soft with qualitative system dynamics, and then we add equations and numbers so that we can create numerical simulations. System dynamics at the level that we studied here is a supportive methodology. But sometimes students find out that system dynamics is very useful, then they become interested, learn more about that, and even some of them, we have had the case, some of our students ended up becoming consultant in system dynamics. Also, we have been using system dynamics in some PhD projects. So then you can ask, how can I learn system dynamics? What kind of support do I get beyond this lecture? Well, you don't need a book at this level because we are not going so much into the depths. But if you are interested and want to go to the depths, which is, of course, a very nice thing to do if you are interested, then there are several books. And I put some references here. First of all, I have I provide you slides to a deep course in system dynamics applied to information security that contains more than we are going to use. This is the reference 5 that you see here. It's the introduction to system dynamics applied to information security, which is a course that I used in industry and goes back as 2006, but still can be used. Then, this is a possibility, and this is available via Fronter. Then there are several books, and I can go here and mention that in the list. The book by Mahani and Cavana, which is Systems Thinker and System Dynamics, Managing Change and Complexity, is a nice introduction to system dynamics, but it is now no longer in print. You might find some copies secondhand, or you may borrow that through the library. Then there is a book by Richardson and Pugh, which is a very good book, but it is now, it still exists, but it is no longer in sync with the modeling tools that we have today. It was written at the time when one didn't have graphical modeling languages. Today we do the models using diagrams. Then you have reference 8 by Sturman. This is considered to be the Bible of system dynamics. He wrote it mainly for big business, for management of kind of business. It's called Business Dynamics, System Thinking and Modeling for a Complex World. It has nearly 1,000 pages. It is extremely deep and detailed. By the way, 9 of these books has a particular section on information security. My course reference 5 does, but the others, they are generic. They are concerned more about the method. Then you have another nice book, which is Moorcroft, Strategic Modeling and System Dynamics, a Feedback Systems Approach, which has recently appeared in a new and extended edition. In question to size, the smaller one is reference 6, then perhaps 7, then 9, and then 8. Reference 9 has about 400 pages. As I said, you don't need the books for the purpose of this course. Among other things, also because the help system of Vensim has a modeling guide with a nice introduction to system dynamics. So probably for your needs, my course and the help system in Vensim is enough. But if you are very strongly interested, you can go further. Then I put a number of references of papers and studies that have been done using system dynamics. I could add more references, and perhaps I will do that after the lecture, because there are lots of things that I've been doing so. Then I put something about the history of using system dynamics and information security, in which I was involved. I was invited then to CERT, which was a part of the university in Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon. I was invited to MIT and to other places. Then we started forming a group that works with this. But then Vensim. Have you seen this before? Have you already installed Vensim? Okay, this I will very strongly recommend. If you go to this site, then you can download and install Vensim. That's the site, vensim.com. And then you see this, which explains a little bit as to what it is and so on and so on. But you can then click on download. When you click on this, then you see free downloads. If you click on free downloads, then you see here the product which is selected, Vensim PLE. This can be downloaded freely. You click then on, before you can do that, I think you have to put in your name and your email address, and then you get the instructions sent to email address. Probably they have done do that because in the past people put some fake email address and downloaded the software. They want you kind to be in the list in case you can be tempted to buy the software. But the free version of Vensim can be used for academic purposes. So as you are doing for learning, or for me as teaching. I do have a version that is not free, that is more extensive, that I use for projects. The requirement or the free download is limited for students and for teachers. But as a teacher, if I'm doing research, if I have a project, then I have to use, legally speaking, I have to use a version that I have to pay for. So actually I have two versions of Vensim here. I have the free version, which is a bit simpler, and I have the commercial version, that has the full extents, the full range, and so on. I would suggest that you all download Vensim PLE in the next break so that you can start using that. What is very important is that you do a full download so that you get not only the tool, the simulation and modeling tool, but that you get also the documentation in the form of help files, and that you get the examples that follow with the tool. So I am going now to review the tool so that you can see that after you download that. So as you can see, I have two forms of Vensim. I am pointing at the commercial version, Vensim DSS, which I think costs in the order of $700 or $800, the license, and Vensim PLE, which is the free version. So I start now the free version. And that's an example of a simulation model that we are using. This model is describing the management of a disaster that happened in Norway. I work not only with information security, but I work also with crisis and disasters. So this is a model of what happened some years ago during when a landslide hit a row of houses in Norway. So models, simulation models, they can be described graphically. You use different symbols, and these symbols have some meaning that you will learn later. So when you see a box like workload backlog is the name of a variable in my model, and the fact that it is a box, as here you have another box, or here, or here, or here, that refers to the mathematical nature of the variable. There are different kinds of variables. Another variables that are depicted here by flows, like this one and this one, they have again different mathematical properties. And you have still other variables that only appear with names here, like normal weld rate, errors rate from cognitive pressure, time to decrease mutual understanding, and so they are different kinds of variables. All this is created graphically and connected. The different arrows that you see indicate relations. For instance, when you see an arrow going from workload backlog to indicated cognitive load, that means that this variable, workload backlog, impacts indicated cognitive load, and this impacts on the next variable and so on. Sometimes you see that some variable, errors, is impacted from different variables before that. So all this is a semantic graph describing the relation between the different factors in some problem. And again, there are different kinds of factors or different kinds of variables, and that's why we see boxes, that's why we see flows, that's why we see other names without further geometry, but still they are important because they are connected. The blue arrows indicate the connections. For each of these models, there are a number of equations that describe the whole thing. If I click on view on I cannot do that. I cannot do that with the free version. With the free version, there is only one view, which is a graphical view. But I can see the equations. There is a document all, and there I get the relations, the equations between the different variables. So all these are equations connecting the different variables. Okay? So this appears as a window here where you can see that. More of this we will learn later. But now my point is the following. As I said, these diagrams, which depict the model, they are constructed using the symbols that are here. We will learn that. And once we get also equations into that, we can also do simulations and so on. Now, as to the documentation. If you click Help, then it opens a menu. I have to do it in a slightly different way here because I have Windows 8 in a way that the installed programs are in a separate domain. So I cannot use this help here, but you will, once you install it, you will be able to do that. I have rather to go to here to open the help. At least I expected this to happen. By some reason, it doesn't open. Okay, now it comes, I hope. Yes. So this is the outcome of open the help of Enzyme. And there are a lot of details here. But you should pay special attention to the modeling guide this year. If you open that, then you see that there are 9 chapters. And the first chapter is an overview of the methodology, system dynamics. So if you click on that, you get different sub-chapters, and you can go through them and learn about the methodology and so on and so on. So there are 2 things that you can do with that if you are curious and are motivated to do that. You could start already now in reading through that, going through this, and you will be ahead of some parts of the course. Then there are different chapters where you are guided to build a model, and that starts with chapter 2. In chapter 2, again, let me tell you that, emphasize that the tool doesn't have specific examples related to information security. Still, from the point of view of learning how to model and simulate, any example that is easy to follow and that tells you how to do it is good. So if you invest in your understanding, and perhaps with a view as to perhaps this is a good thing to know for my future professional life, or perhaps even it will take off and I will go to the devs, then taking this chapter, which is a model of a simple inventory and how it is affected by people working on the inventory and how it leads to oscillation in the inventory, that's a good investment. So you can click at that, and then it tells you what it is, what is going to happen, what you want to simulate, and so on and so on. And then it starts telling you what to do. It will tell you create first this part of the model, and it tells you how to do that. Then it will tell you add now the workforce. Then it will tell you how to connect the variables and so on. Basically, you get a hands-on guide to construct the model. And you end up in the end by simulating the model, and you have learned a lot of things. And then you can go to a more advanced model, which is Project Dynamics, that models the process of management a project, which is something very important in professional life. How do you manage, suppose you are going to create a new product, or you are going to do some research and development, how do you manage this? Well, chapter 3 is a model of that, and it is a bit more advanced than chapter 2, so you learn new things. And so on. Again, if you are interested and motivated, you could invest in taking also chapter 4, which is about how to model the growth of a field. Chapter 5, again related to business, capacity and market growth. 6, competitive dynamics. 7, even financial modeling and risk, which is not so far from risk in security and so on, and more and more. So these 9 chapters in the modeling guide of Vensim will, if you follow them, make you a good modeler. You will learn a lot, and then you could use that to model problems in information security or in any other area in which you engage later. So a very strong recommendation that I give to the serious student is that can be a very good investment and give you professional experience that can be used in many respects. When you finish and take the course and you have a master in information security, then you will be looking for jobs, and perhaps you get something in information security, but perhaps you get a job in a different area. Some of our students end up in doing different things, and then a good knowledge of modeling and simulation with Vensim is a strong advantage. Among other things, there are consultant companies that are looking for good modelers. So for instance, PricewaterhouseCoopers is looking for that, McKinsey and so on, but then they really ask for very strong expertise. And if you end up going back to some country of origin, maybe you have done a very strong opportunity to work with this. Okay, so the end of this was by telling you how to install Vensim, Vensim Peli, which is the model that is free and that we are going to use in the courses. Any questions? Okay, so after this introduction, let's now see how we do that. So here is a lecture as to how to create so-called causal loop diagrams to model security. A causal loop diagram is a qualitative diagram, it's qualitative system dynamics. So let's look at that. As you can see here, I have 2 affiliations. My main affiliation is professor at the Faculty of Engineering and Science of the University of Agder, and I am affiliated with the Center for Integrated Emergency Management, which is a center that I founded 4 years ago, and directed that until last February, when I decided now that it was time for younger people to lead the center. And you find that in the web page, if you like. And since 2005, I have been adjunct professor in Norwegian Professor 2 here in Gjøvik. That means that I have a part-time involvement, 20%, and for that I give lectures in 2 courses. I supervise students, master, sometimes also PhDs, at the level of course supervising, and I am also involved in developing project proposals, funding proposals, and so on. For instance, this morning I had a 2-hour meeting where we are working with a proposal to launch a center of excellence here. Okay, so if you were using a textbook, which you don't need, you will find in chapter 3 of Mani and Cavana, an introduction to causal loop diagrams, or in Sturman's book in chapter 4 or 5, or you find it in the help system of Wenzin. Okay? So, the first question is, why do we care about models? Well, what is a model? A model is always a representation of reality. And you can have all kinds of models to represent reality. One model could be system dynamical model, but there can be others. It could be an agent-based model and so on. Basically, we try to understand reality, which is very complex, and for that we need models. And in fact, we are using models all the time. So you, Constantine, you don't have Kiev in your head. What you have is a model of Kiev. So you know some streets, some areas, you know where to go. When you're hungry, you know where to go. If you want to borrow a book at the library and so on, you know where the university is, you know where your girlfriend lives and so on. So you have not Kiev in your head, but you have a model of Kiev in your head. And a model is something that helps you doing things, planning your life, finding where food, if you need that, or books, libraries, how to move in that, and so on. That's what the model is about. So we have two kinds of models. We have mental models, that is our representation in our head, and they have some advantages and disadvantages. Very often we extend these models with external models. For instance, even if you know Kiev very well, you don't know it well enough that you know every street. So for that you will buy a map, and a map is a model. A map is kind of a depiction of streets and locations in some city, and it is done in a way that is simple. You will never ask for so much detail in the map that in the end you cannot carry it with you. So it is always a simplification of reality. And similarly now for security. We cannot have security in our head. So what we do is we have models of security so that we can navigate in the situation and make decisions and plan ahead and so on. And what we do want is that the mental models, our representation of reality that we have through our experience, through learning and so on, that it should be as good as possible. And one of the goals of this course is using system dynamic models so that you can improve your understanding of security. Then, causal loop diagrams. What I want you to learn now in this first lecture about qualitative system dynamic modeling using causal loop diagrams is the importance of the so-called feedback and feedback loops. When we create causal loop diagrams, we want to identify what we call feedback loops, which are the drivers of behavior. In that, we will not go to the depths. And these things that I call level, rates, auxiliaries, and so on, they are details that we are skipping to begin with. They relate to the different natures of the variables. But what is the meaning then of causal loop diagrams? Well, they are very good first to sketch. So when you are trying to create a model of some problem, you first sketch the model without too much detail using causal loop diagrams. Then they are very good to communicate and illustrate things. So these are the two basic reasons why we care about causal loop diagrams, which again They are examples of qualitative system dynamic models. And also, the other advantage is that causal loop diagrams encourage you to think in terms of feedback loops. The importance of the feedback loops will become clearer and clearer as time passes. So let's now do this in a hands-on way. Imagine you have a company. And imagine that this company has a problem of security, in that the actual security of the company is lower than the desired security. And this is depicted in this little diagram that I am going now to create with Vensim Paley. So, going to Vensim Paley, I am going to create a new model, file, new model. And you get a window that is asking for the model settings. This window we don't need now because it relates to simulation, numerical simulation. This we are skipping now. So you just click OK. All the things that are here are irrelevant for the time being. Later they will become relevant. So we have now a blank screen, or not a blank screen. We have a blank working area. On here, we select, as you can see, a variable. I am pointing at that. Click on that. When you click on that, you see that the pointer has got now a small addition. This small addition is a big T that indicates that it is text that you can write. And you click somewhere here and you write security. And this is meant to represent in some way the security of your organization. So let's assume that you have some metric, some scale. In this scale, you can say high security, medium security, low security. How this is done is at the moment not important, but indeed there are security metrics. Normally they are split in different areas, so you measure not the security just from, say, 0 to 1, or 0% to 100%, but you measure the security along different dimensions. But for the time being, we simplify that just to be one measure, security. Okay, so we have it here. And this represents now a variable. The other one, I still have the variable, as you can see in the cursor, so I can click somewhere else. And I put desired security. And then, if the two aren't different, if the actual security in the company is less than the desired security, then you have a security gap, which is the problem you need to address. Obviously, the security gap is determined by the difference between the desired security and the security. That's what the gap is. Graphically, what we do is we select this arrow here. Notice that now the cursors have changed. It is carrying the arrow. And with that, you can click and here and there, and you have a connection. So the value of security influences the value of the security gap. The value of the desired security influences also this here. And now we are copying close to this diagram that you are seeing here. I have security, desired security and security gap. I have arrows indicating the security gap must be computed from desired security and for security. But then you are seeing two symbols here, plus and minus. What is the meaning of this? Now we are at the crossroads. That's an area that causes some confusion for some students. Here it is explained. The plus sign is the so-called polarity of the effect. And by that it means that the cause and the effect change in the same direction. The cause is where the arrow starts. Security is the cause of the change in security gap, everything else. So, similarly, desired security is the cause that changes the security gap. So you can have two factors influence security gap. So if you see the plus sign, which you see here, that means that the cause, the desired security, and the effect, the security gap, change in the same direction. Meaning, if the cause, the desired security increases, then the security gap increases. But if desired security by some reason decreases, then the security gap decreases. So that's the meaning. So let's go back to Benzing. Since, suppose you have a security gap. Suppose we raise the ambition and we want even more security. Obviously, the security gap increases. So increasing the value of the desired security increases the security gap. So they move in the same direction. And therefore, this influence or cause is assigned the plus sign, the plus polarity. How do I get in there? Well, you see this little circle here that I am now moving? If you right-click on that, then you get a window. And in this window, you see polarity. At the moment, it has no polarity, it's known. But then you can put plus or minus. There are other things, ignore them for the time being. For the time being, we concentrate on plus and minus. If I click on plus, then I have the sign here. For the other relation, security to security gap, the effect is the opposite. If I raise the security of my organization, I improve it, then I decrease the security gap. Or if the security becomes worse, it falls down, it decreases, then the security gap increases. So there, the polarity is the opposite. And when you have opposite polarity, you use a minus sign. Oops. What happened here? So, right-click on that, and there polarity, a minus. Then we have the diagram like this here, which is the diagram that I started to create. So, now we will take a break of 15 minutes, summarizing what we did in this first introduction on system dynamics modeling in a qualitative way is to argue for the need of having models. And then we started making a case or modeling a case of security in organization where you have a security gap. Then we will, in the next lecture, model what we have to do so as to close this gap. Okay? 15 minutes break.